Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to AM 580, The Information Advantage, and that's going to do it for Morning Edition. Thanks very much for starting your day with us this morning. Next, we have our opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, May wheat opened at 12.90, down 1.5 on the open. At the Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 12.18, down 16 on the open. May, 12.39.5, down 4.5. July, 12.07.25, down 6.25. September, 12.11.25, down 9.25. December, 12.20, down 2.5. March of 2009, 12.24.5, down 0.5, and July 10.98, down 13 on the open. March corn opened at 5.59.75, unchanged on the open. May, 5.68, down 1.5. July, 5.80.5, down 1. September, 5.81.25, down 1.75. December, 5.82.25, down 1. March of 2009, 5.91, down 0.5. May, 5.94, unchanged. July, 5.97, unchanged. December of 2009, 5.55, down 1.5 on the open. March beans opened at 13.96, up 9 on the open. May, 14.03.75, up 1. July opened at 14.21, up 2.25. August, 14.19, up 13. September, 13.82, up 18. November, 13.23, up 2.5. January of 2009, 13.43, up 15. March, 13.44, up 13. May, 13.40.25, up 1.25. July, 13.54.5, up 14.5 on the open. May soybean meal open at 3.56, unchanged on the open. March soybean oil open at 62.42, up 32 on the open. May, 62.68, up 12. April live cattle open at 90.15, up 60 on the open. March feeders open at 99.20, down 25 on the open. April lean hogs open at 56.75, up 55 on the open. And March bellies open at 78.27.5, up 147.5 on the open.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Just another day at the office with the high volatility in the wheat market.
Just another day with the outside markets going crazy, another record high in the gold and crude oil trading two-sided trade, and the wheat profit takers want to come in here. I suspect that part of this is the outside markets. I suspect that part of this could be the Informa numbers coming out. They're scheduled to come out around 10:30 Central Time. Probably the basic premonition by the trade right now is that you're going to see potentially bigger wheat acres because of higher spring wheat acres, and that could come at the expense of corn. And obviously the beans are the big wild card as far as how much bigger are they going to be. So I think today's market price action so far today, with those March futures getting ready to expire here at noon Chicago time, you know, could be a dry run or a test run for what we're looking forward to on the March 31st report day. So it's probably a pretty important day from both a fundamental perspective and also the technical perspective. We have lost our trend line here in the May beans, and we're about a dime off the trend line in the May corn that we've been tracking here. We've switched from March to May as of today. So we're getting into those trend lines pretty deep, and the wheat leading us lower gives us a reason to sit up and take notice.
When the wheat leading us lower, also I guess traders are betting on many more soybean acres with the soybean trade we're seeing today too.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, and going back to the wheat, we kind of made reference to it on the midday commentary yesterday. Our importer-exporter people are feeling a sigh of relief or breathing a sigh of relief after the break in price at the end of February. It sounded like, by our contacts, we got quite a bit of end-user needs covered on that price break for the springtime. They're sitting fairly well going into the new crop, and I think the mindset has shifted some in the commercial side that the new crop is going to be bigger and that the supplies will build, especially globally. And if we do see a bigger wheat acreage number than, you know, 64 million, then that will help ensure that the U.S. crop is going to be bigger too. And one of the comments I heard yesterday was the U.S. hard red belt looks a lot better weather-wise than it did a month ago. So I think, you know, they're just taking some money off the table here, it sounds like.
Meanwhile, linchpin to all of this, to me, still seems to be the U.S. dollar, and we made new contract lows yet again today, and there's really nothing in the cards, technically speaking at least, to suggest this thing's turning.
No, and I think that's where the import prices on the retail sales data, which was so disappointing and depressing yesterday, the import prices skyrocketed versus last month, and I think what we're doing with this cheap dollar is we're causing the inflation, we're shipping it out across the seas, and then it's coming back to us in the form of higher import prices. And it, I think, like we've talked about several weeks in a row, this lower dollar, this weaker dollar, is not really benefiting hardly anybody now from a financial or economic standpoint. And the fact that farmers are calling more about energy prices and diesel prices and when's it going to stop is probably the most familiar comment I get on the phone and that Chuck gets on the phone here in the last 2 weeks. When's it going to stop going up? It goes back to when that dollar bottoms, because we're looking at a 21-day of supply of crude versus a 22-day supply a year ago, but our prices have jumped 66%. And gasoline's is even worse. We're at a 26-day supply now versus a 23-day supply a year ago. Again, leaded futures jumped 41% since last year. This is highly likely just the dollar going lower that they're pricing that inflation into the crude oil price.
So the question for you then becomes, at a 71.782 U.S. dollar, is that fully priced in the anticipated cut in the prime lending rate of a half to three-quarters a point next year from the Fed?
Yeah, we think the Fed futures has got about a 95% likelihood of a three-quarter percent cut for next Tuesday. The thing we probably don't have priced in, though, Dave, is if some of these OPEC nations shift from dollar-denominated crude oil pricing to a euro or a basket. And it may just be that the currency markets are addressing that now, trying to get ahead of the curve. And, you know, by taking the euro to an all-time high of $1.55 and the yen to a 12-year low or 12-year high against the dollar, you may be seeing some of that already being factored in, that the currency markets do think that the OPEC nations are tired of their domestic inflation, tired of not getting as much per barrel on a weaker dollar, and they're getting ready to move more aggressively on repricing their crude oil. And that would really continue to send shockwaves through the market, I suspect.
All right, then. Let's take this thing back to the acreages then. Had some interesting conversations last night out at the meeting down in Effingham, and Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing, brought out a chart where essentially he made some pretty good assumptions about what carryout and usage and yield would be for new crop, and then based on those numbers said, well, we need to have around 88 million planted corn acres and about 73.5 million planted bean acres to sort of make the math work out for the carryover to be comfortable. And if you go off of those standards either way, you're going to either have corn shortages or maybe begin to run out of beans.
I think I'd buy into 100% what he said on the corn. On the beans, I don't think you need quite that many acres because the global stocks are going up. And I think that's something that we have seen here, is that South America's crop is improving. The Chinese demand is waning right now, maybe temporary, but it is waning a little bit, giving us a little bit of a breathing room here. But I guess our mindset would be, as long as you get 71 to 72 million bean acres and you get at least a 42 bushel yield, you can return to a similar carryover level that we're dealing with right now. And with new crop prices at $13 and old crop prices at $13, we're probably pretty square on the books. So, but as far as the corn goes, anything below 87, I suspect, will cause the market to get very, very nervous, especially if the dollar continues to go down, because that's where those feed grains and those coarse grain prices will be controlled a lot more by the dollar, I suspect, because the world stocks, at least in corn and wheat, are still very, very low. But given that we may build wheat stocks, Dave, I suspect that the corn acreage number, as long as we get a 155 or 157 yield, as long as we get 87 million corn acres or more, I suspect the trade will feel very comfortable in their price because, after all, these corn is close to $6 right now.
Do you think USDA would go that high?
I don't know. I think it's going to be hard to pull more than 2 or 3 million acres out of CRP. So we're running an 87 corn figure, a 71 bean figure, and a 64 and a fraction wheat figure, and we tried to stretch it as far as we could. So I don't know if you could stretch the rubber band and get both the 90 million corn acres and the 74 million bean acres. I think that's too much of a stretch, I think.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzula, Risk Management Commodities. You're listening to WILL Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.